Some may be wondering why the van was parked kind of crazy down there. I was not intoxicated by the Spirit last Wednesday. I have little babies down there. I think they're killdeer or kerbuff. I can't remember what they are. They live on the ground, or they can fly, but they have their nests on the in the rock, and their little eggs look like a river rock with spots. So I kind of protected them a little bit for them. If you do go down there, kind of don't watch where you walk, because the eggs will. Last year, legs just look like rocks, you know. So, but we raised four last year, and I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, they're kind of fun. They get a little feisty when you go around them, so be careful. They haven't attacked me yet, but you know, you try to help somebody, and then you just, you know, they turn on you. Welcome to the life of a pastor or a Christian, right? Okay. But anyway. We're going to kind of continue on the theme of faith a little bit. We're going to look at the shield of faith today. And it's important, really, that we understand that concept. Now, I'm not going to teach totally on spiritual warfare and things like that. We're going to do that a little bit later on in the year, I hope. I keep saying that every year. I've been wanting to do it for a couple of years. Just haven't pulled it off yet. But anyway, I think as a believer that we need to really understand, you know, how some of these concepts work. Have you ever had lies maybe spoken about you and you really didn't know where they came from? You know, I think sometimes Christians, we forget, you know, that we're in a battle here. We're in a battle. And, you know, we travel through life unaware of the conflict, you know, that's really going on around us. And, you know, there is that spiritual enemy that's trying to thwart us from being effective, you know, for the kingdom of God. And we are soldiers in God's armies, and we need to act accordingly. Amen. But those lies is kind of what we're going to look at today a little bit, and how we deal with them and what the shield of faith is all about. And it's very important that we grasp this and just kind of remember what's really going on around us. We're going to look at Isaiah 54:17, the start. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, and then we're going to look at it from the Message translation. Isaiah 54:17. I woke up, I think, Wednesday morning or Thursday morning with this scripture just going off inside of me, and that's kind of why we're talking about this today. It says, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. You know, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." Okay? That's the New American Standard. Now we're going to look at the Message translation. It says, "But no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best, and that's God's decree." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you for a special stirring, Lord, in each of our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge that lays before us. But Lord, I thank you that the greater one is inside of us, and we will rise to that challenge. Lord God, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and for your anointing to be here. And Lord, I ask you to stir the gift that you put inside of me, and we bind the devil in any way, shape, or form in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we know in the Bible, we're going to look at that at the end, Ephesians 6, about having a shield. But why do we need a shield? Why do we need a shield? That's what I want to look at first. Why do you and I need a shield? See, I believe that if Christians were not created for conflict, then why did God give us armor? See, it's an area of our walk with God. It's an area of our relationship with God that many times we forget about because we don't really maybe, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter, always was, you know what I'm saying in some ways. But, you know, I do know there's times you got to fight. There's times you got to stand your ground. There's times you got to just take back everything that the devil has stolen from you. And see, God has given us everything that we need to be able to accomplish the task that he set before us. Now, a Christian wears many hats, and one of them is the helmet of salvation. We have to remember that. You know, the helmet of salvation and what that's all about. And as we walk in the things of God and we start to understand really what it is God's called us to do on this planet, you know, it would have been easier if we just got saved and then wanted to be, then go on to be in heaven. But see, God's left us down here for a reason. God wants us to be able to go forth in His name. You know, the Bible says we're ambassadors. The Bible says, you know, that we're soldiers in the things of God. He's given us armor. All these things that we need to start to walk in. So we have to sort of stay focused on things, because so many times you and I, we get preoccupied with things. Things that kind of make us forget exactly what it is we're supposed to be doing. And we need to stay true and stay strong in the things of the Lord. And God has given you and I everything that we need for spiritual warfare. Now, I know the spiritual warfare does scare some people. Some people, you know, the devil, you know, he kind of scares them a little bit. Now, I don't go around, you know, boasting and things like that about that I have authority over the devil. That's not what God wants us to do. But I do know this, that everything He brings to us, we can win. Because God has given us what we need. It says there, no weapon that has ever been forged, ever been made, no matter what it is, no matter what Satan brings against you, it cannot win over you. It's going to be a fight. Hey. You know, it just doesn't, you know, Satan just doesn't, after Jesus rose from the dead, he just didn't roll over and play dead, you know what I mean, or play possum. You know, Satan, he's scared. He knows what the future holds. See, Satan knows what the Bible says, he just didn't know how to apply it. And that's why he rebelled against God, and who in their right mind would think they're equal with God? But that's what he thought. So he's out there and he's trying to, like a roaring lion, the Bible said, he's trying to find who he can devour. So to me, he's going to try to devour the ones who aren't prepared for battle. I don't want to say this in a wrong way. He's going to attack the weak. That's just the way he does. And we, if we're, you know, we go through ebbs and flows in our walk with God, where sometimes we feel like we're an animal for Jesus. There are times we feel like we're maybe, you know, just a little pussycat, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, we need to help stand for each other, and we're going to go back, or I'm going to go into that a little bit at the end. But, you know, so we need to be ready to stand and fight our ground, and hold our ground, I mean, and be able to fight that good fight of faith. Right. You know, I don't know about you, but I hate taking what the devil has given me and just accepting it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to. We have to resist. We have to stand strong. You know, in the power of His might. Now, everything we have, it comes from Jesus, okay? Every strength that we have, we can never beat the devil on our own. We were never created for that. But we were created to have the greater one that lives inside of us. And that greater one that lives inside of us can rise up. And that's what we need to do. That's why we come together to build up our faith, so that we can be able to use that shield of faith. So that we can be able to stand strong and be able to put down everything that the enemy brings against us. But the sad thing is, many people are unaware that we're in a serious battle. It's serious. It's a battle between darkness and light. It's a battle against good and evil. And it is going on around us. There's so many things, and, you know, I don't want to get all spooky weird here, but, you know, a lot of things that are happening on our planet, the God of this world is the puppet master, and he's just playing with people's minds. And he's trying to lead them astray, and that's why they do the things they do. I mean, who in the right mind, would kill a baby? They're not thinking straight. See, the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and we who are the people of faith need to get on our knees and fight like a man. That's what an old shirt I had at one time. You know, I think I outgrew it. Bummer. I can't wear it no more. I don't know what happened to it. It's an old Petra shirt. That was one of their songs they had, you know. But I always loved that shirt, and I loved that song. You know, that's how we do our battle. I mean, we got to pray. We got to speak out. We got to do what we got to do, you know, to be able to win. And that's just what we want. Now, surrender to Satan is not an option, but surrender to Jesus is our only option. That's step one. We have to live the surrendered life. Because when we live the surrendered life to God, we close all the doors for the enemy to come in. He's looking for an open door, an unlocked door. He's looking for an open window. He's looking for a way, just like a little mouse. You know, a little mouse, they can squeeze in anything, can't they? You know, and we got to be careful, see, because that's what the devil's trying to do to our life. He's trying to squeeze in there. He's trying to bring lies to our mind to be able to get us to believe the lie and believe the lie as a truth. Believing that, oh, I have to accept that this is the way I am. This is what, you know, God doesn't want me to prosper. God doesn't want me to have a nice thing. God doesn't want me to be happy. Well, those are lies. Those are lies from the devil. And we don't have to take them. You know, it's going to take some effort. You're going to have to spend a little time with God. You're going to have to hang around people with like precious faith. Because I'll guarantee it, nobody stays up all the time. It's hard, isn't it? It's impossible. But see, if we're hanging around people with like precious faith, we pick each other up. Why do you think Jesus sent the disciples out two by two? So they could lean on each other, so they could encourage each other. Nobody was ever meant to be alone. God created us to have fellowship with each other. So we need to see first that we need to surrender to God. Now, how Satan attacks, he attacks us with lies and accusations. That's what he tries to do. But here, this scripture in Isaiah 54, it says, you know, that ever tongue or lie that has been spoken will be exposed. You know, have you ever been amazed at some of the things you hear about yourself? I mean, living in a small town, every now and then things go around, you know what I mean? They get back. You know, and what happens is, you know, me and my wife sometimes are just amazed at the things that people say that we said. And we never said it. Well, who do you think it comes from? Well, see, that's the devil. He doesn't want us to prosper. He wants to have people leave this place and not stay in this place. That's just the way he works. And see, that's what happens here, you know, when it comes to, you know, we work with a lot of kids whose, parents may not go to church as much on Sunday. Well, hardly at all. And we love them, and we're trying to get them to come into the kingdom. But see, what happens is that we're trying to love on these kids, and we're trying to reach these kids. And what happens then, the devil comes in and stirs up a little bit of thing, you know, with them. And then they, you know, they just jerk the kids out of church. Oh, we're just not going to go no more. And, you know, that's just what the devil does. And we got to be aware of that. So if you're in your prayer time, pray against that spirit that comes in that's trying to attack, is trying to divide. And see, that's what the enemy is trying to do, is to divide us. He doesn't want us to be strong. And see, what we have found out, sometimes we don't like what we hear about ourselves, you know, but you can't take it personal. You know, whenever you hear a lie about yourself, you know, and if you know it's a lie, I keep trying to get this through the young people's lives. Because, you know, going to school can be kind of petty, can't it? There's some petty stuff going on. I just tell them, they said, well, so-and-so said this about me. I said, is it true? No. I said, well, don't believe it then. Not too hard. You know what I mean? Just don't believe it. If you know it's a lie, it's a lie. And see, that's the way the devil attacks us. If you hear, see things going on in your life and stuff, just know it's a lie. Accept it for what it is, not for what the devil wants it to be. And what we need to do is understand that we can't take those lies personal. We just need to take them to the cross. We take them to the cross and put them where they belong. I knew who the enemy is. See, the Bible says there in Isaiah 54 that victory is in our heritage, and we need to understand what all that's going to be. You know, our inheritance is to walk in victory. See, we have all the authority that we need to thwart every weapon that Satan brings against you and your family. You have the authority. You're going to have to learn how to use them. You have to use that authority. You have to speak the word. You know, when the word is truth, and when you speak the truth, it confounds a lie. See, God didn't say he's going to deal with the lies. He said, you speak to the truth. You speak it. You confound those lies. So that's why we need to get into the Word of God. We've got to start speaking the Word of God. And then we start to walk in that level of authority, and we start to, you know, put things back in their place that there need to be. Because there's no weapon that Satan can ever make that will prosper unless we let it. See, we're the deciding factor. Are we going to accept it? Are we going to allow it? Are we going to believe it? And see, you know, to me now, don't misunderstand, this is kind of weird, but Satan is Wile E. Coyote and we're the Roadrunner. You know what I mean? We need to see that. I liked watching the Roadrunner as a kid, and it came across the other day, I watched one somehow. And, you know, that poor Wile E. Coyote, I mean, he just can't win for losing, can he? And that's what the devil is. He tries all these things. He tries everything he can. And the Roadrunner, he just escapes every time. That's how we got to see it. There's nothing that Wile E. Coyote could ever do to get the Roadrunner, and there's nothing that Satan can ever do to get you. Because you have authority over him. God has given us everything that we need, and it's important that we understand that, because truth will always prevail in the end, and that's why we need to fight till the end. Right. It's not over till it's over. Right. And we have to remember that. Next passage I want to look at is dealing with, you know, some things in our mind. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, no soldier, and we're soldiers, right, in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, what we need to learn how to do is deal with distractions. That's what happens. We get distracted. You know, Satan's doing something with this hand, you know, to distract us, and then he's using this one to slap us upside the head or something sometimes. You know, because he wants us to not focus on what's really real. And, you know, Christians need to see what this passage says is that we are an active service, emphasis on active. You know, we're an active duty, right? We're an active duty. And we need to see what it means to be an active duty. That means we need to be prepared at all time. We need to understand that we're in a battle and we're going to win, but we need to be ready for that battle. And what's sad is sometimes, you know, you and I, we forget who we are and what we've been called to do. You know, we're called to reach the lost. We're called to be able to make disciples in all nations. You know, all these things are part of who we are. And what happens is that we forget that. We get distracted with the things of everyday life. And then we just think, well, you know, I'm just focusing on, you know, making a paycheck. I'm just focusing on paying my bills. I'm just focusing on, you know, just doing things in my little world. But see, our world is so much bigger than that. So as believers, as Christians, as those who have come to the light out of the darkness, need to be able to walk in that light. And we need to learn how to share our faith. Because the more we preach the truth, the more the lies will be exposed. And we need to see ourselves. It's your responsibility, not just a certain people. Technically, you know, you don't pay me to evangelize. We're all to evangelize. But see, there's a lot of people that think, well, we just pay the pastor, you know, to evangelize, and he does all evangelism. You know, and we just count them as he cleans them. You know what I mean? Just kind of that mentality. But no, you guys got to catch them. I will clean them, but y'all got to catch them. That's just, you know, we're fishers of men. You know, that's where he wants. And see, but if we're afraid, if we're ashamed, you don't have to know the whole Bible. You just know Jesus. Right. You know? All you got to do is tell what Jesus has done for you. And if he did it for you, he can do it for them. Right? That's all we got to know. And we should never take our armor off. I know it's kind of cute when the kids are little, you know, we say, put your armor on every day. And that's cute. We do that. It's good to have the kids remember. But, you know, I believe we sleep in it. You know, we sleep in our armor. We never take our armor off. We're ready at any time. You know, if you're a person of prayer, if you're a person that spends a little time with God, God's going to speak to you. And there's times you just got to go to battle, and it's on right then. You just got to be ready to go. And fight that good fight of faith. Drop to your knees and start praying down the power. Start praying against that darkness. You know, there's a lot of darkness going on and we are allowing it. Amen. And we should not allow some of that. I'll be honest, the enemy, I'm not going to go too far into social problems right now, but there are so many ways that Satan has tried to hem us in the corner, meaning Christians and the Word of God and the church, so that we are afraid to speak out on certain issues. Because of what people will think about us. Now, we need to do it in a spirit of love, but we were never called to hide our light. We were never called to not speak truth against the lie. You know, but God says, not has God said, like Satan said, or the snake in the garden. Has not God said? No, we don't say that. We says God said. This is what the Word said. You know, God said, this is the way it is. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. You got a problem? Talk to God.
Right.
Amen? Amen? That's the way it is. We don't, you know, water down the Word just because of certain situations and circumstances. And what happens is that, you know, Satan does that. He gets us to focus on the wrong thing. And we're so focused on the wrong thing, then we're not going to be able to do anything because we're chasing after, ghosts, or shall we say. You know, the god of this world is what they call Satan. And, you know, what he does first is the Bible says he blinds unbelievers. He wants them to be blinded so they can't see the truth. Well, then after he loses them to God, then he tries to deceive believers, okay? So he blinds unbelievers, then he tries to deceive believers so that they can't function and be able to do what he's called to do. So, like I say, Satan is the master of misdirection. And that's what he's doing to us right now. We're chasing after so many things that aren't real. You know, we need to get back to what Jesus called us to do. And we're supposed to preach this gospel to a lost and dying world. That's what he's called us to do. And we need to rise up and not be afraid. It doesn't matter, really, you know, what the world thinks about us. I mean, we don't go out there to be obnoxious, but we need to go out and we need to preach the truth and love. And as we do that, we're going to see things. See, what happens is sometimes we get so caught up with stuff that we get caught up. We get caught up in his web. You know, have you ever caught in the spider web? I know they can't stop us, I mean, because they're little, but yeah, you get into that thing, you know? And see, that's what happens. You know, we get so caught up in things. And then we get so mad. And see, we need to remember who the real enemy is. See, here's what Satan does. This is his misdirection. This is what he tries to do. He tries to divide us by lying. He's got black people hating white people and white people hating black people. That's not really what's going on, but that's what the news says. And that's what we're supposed to believe. So that's just part of that division. He's got Republicans against Democrats. He's got men, you know, against women. All these groups is trying to fight each other, and we're so focused on fighting each other that we forget we're here to fight the devil.
Right.
We're not to fight each other. We need to walk in love with each other. Yeah, I don't agree with everybody, but see, as long as Satan has us fighting with each other, we'll never have time to fight against the devil. So we need to take one step back, you know, and see who the real enemy is. And that's where we need to do our fighting against the principalities, the powers, the rulers in high places, those things, those enemies that try to come in to hold people. Because what happens is that when you and I have broken focus, it leads to destruction, okay? You know, we get all caught up in all these other side little battles, and then we're fussing and fighting and doing all these things, and then we're not winning. Nobody can win that battle, right? We can't win that. It just leads to destruction. It leads us down the path, you know, that isn't good. See, the Bible says that Jesus wants his enemies to be made his footstool. You remember that one? Okay. Picture that. Satan and all those people are Jesus' footstool. Now, when I say that, the people that Jesus died for are not his enemy, are they? Did you know that Jesus loves the people that does mean things to you as much as he loves you? That's weird. That just ain't right, but that's the way it is. Jesus loves us all the same, but not everybody loves him back. That's the difference. But see, the real enemy isn't that person who maybe said something bad about you. Yeah, you may have to have a conversation with them, you know, and just a conversation, nothing else. But that the real enemy, Satan and his followers, need to be made Jesus' footstool. We need to pull down and cast down those principalities and powers, those rulers that are ruling over different areas. And as we do that, then we start to see progress take place. Now, the last passage I want to look at today is found in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to get to the shield of faith, because when we're out there doing all these things, you're going to get shot at, aren't you? You know, every now and then you get shot at. And Satan's always shooting at us. He's wanting to try to bring us down. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And this passage here is mixed in with the armor of God. And we're just going to look at the shield of faith today primarily. It says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which we'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, that's what we got to see, is the concept of the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith, you know, just to explain, it's not a little round, pretty little thing. The shield that it's talking about was rectangular, pretty good sized thing. It was there made to cover the body. Because when you're out in a battle, you're going to get shot at. Okay? So the Roman, and Paul, when he did this, the Holy Spirit breathed life on this picture to him. He was chained to a Roman soldier that had all the armor on, and he had this shield probably set into the side. Well, that shield was used in a lot of different ways. But primarily the way was when they went into battle, and I've explained this one time before, I think, they did the turtle position. And, you know, you wouldn't really think a turtle, you know, would be that much of a warrior, but what they did is that the shield was big enough so the soldiers in the front would put their shields up. The second row would start to put the shields over their head, and they would carry it around. The ones on the side would be on the side, so that the platoon would be all covered with shields. So no matter them arrows that were just shot by the enemy, they were maybe in the fortress, and they didn't want the Roman soldiers to get close, because you just get picked off. Well, if they're in this, it's like being in a tank. And they would just start advancing and just getting closer and closer and closer to their enemy. And the enemy couldn't do anything about it, because they couldn't touch them. Because why? They were covered with the shield. And see, that's what we need to understand. The idea of being a Christian, to be able to use our shield of faith. See, the shield is important. Now, we know, as you read the other part, the Roman soldier had the breastplate of righteousness and the greaves or shin guards and things like this, all that stuff. But me and my lightning quick intellect, I have a 12th grade education. To me, it's smarter to stop the arrow with the shield than it is with your chest, right? Or your head, your helmet of salvation. You know, why let the arrow hit your head or your heart? Why not stop it out here? And see, that's what we understand. See, I'm a Star Trek fan. Me and my wife always like Star Trek. And, you know, it's kind of like a force field. And I don't want to get all weird here, but, you know, you know, I can't do Scotty, you know, hey, you know, whatever he says. But, you know, the shields are, I have no more power or whatever. But, you know, in Star Trek, when they're under attack, their shields, if they're strong, the weapons would hit the shield and it wouldn't damage a ship. Well, after a while, the shields would get weak, and once they get to a certain level, they couldn't stop the arrows or the photon torpedoes or whatever we're talking about, lasers, whatever, you know, coming at you. And see, that's what we have to have. We have a shield of faith. And when we're standing in the Word and in prayer, you know, we're walking with this shield of faith, and maybe somebody comes up and says, you know, this about you. Well, then if you got that shield of faith and it's strong, it didn't penetrate your mind and it didn't penetrate your heart. Because if it touches your mind or touches your heart, you're going to get hurt. Your feelings are going to get hurt, aren't they? But see, if we have that shield of faith, we can keep that stuff at a distance and stop from being hurt. And that's what God wants us to do. Because if you're hurt, you can't think straight. That's the way it is. Because if you get offended, or if you get hurt in your emotions, you can't respond in a proper way. Because the enemy has got that lie. It's penetrated, it's pierced you. And see, we need to be wise, and understand just how that enemy works and see when our shields get weak. That's why we've got to keep them built up. And see, when we, and I'll be honest, another thing, your physical body is a part of this equation to some degree. Because if you're doing too much and you get wore down, you're not sleeping, you get exhausted, guess what? It's the same thing. Them arrows can come through. If you get in stress, if you get stressed, you got to manage your stress. Because I'll be honest with you, if you don't get stressed out, you probably won't get sick very much. I believe that. But when you get stressed out, that stuff gets through. So we need to learn what works for us, how to manage our stress level, how to manage, you know, how much we're taking on. I know sometimes things happen, but you can't continually live exhausted and expect the shield of faith to work. You have to stay in the Word. You have to pick your spots and things like that. So to benefits of keeping our faith strong, here's just a few. Number one, we'll remember that we're justified by faith, okay? The Bible talks about justification. That talks about our position in Christ. You'll never forget where you are in Christ. If you know where you are in Christ, you know, Satan can never pull you down to his level. Because you're, you know, ruling and reigning with Jesus, walking in the things of God. So justification. You know, also faith makes it possible, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, for us to please God. See, when we're walking in faith, it's pleasing to God. It means that we're stopped striving. We're not in works righteousness. We're in faith righteousness. You know what I mean? So we're in faith righteousness. We're walking in the things of God, and we know that everything we do is pleasing to our Father. You know, so you walk in that level of confidence. We need confidence when we come to God. And that confidence helps to get us through to the other side. Next, it enables us to overcome. We talked about that last week. You know, how to live the overcoming life. By faith, we overcome. It's important to have faith. And then, like I mentioned earlier, that tortoise or turtle position, you know, is that we can lock our shields with other believers. You know, we were never meant to walk this journey alone. You know, God wants us to hook our faith up with other believers. So when you're in a battle, you may get a few of your friends, you kind of lock your shields together. You fight the good fight of faith, you pray the prayer of faith, and you put things back where they belong. Amen? Where Satan belongs. You know, down there somewhere, under our feet. Right? We keep our foot on his neck, keeping him where he belongs, so that he can't come in to lie and steal, kill, and destroy. So I just want to go over a couple of the lies that you and I have to deal with from time to time, and just so we know kind of what to look for. See, kind of picture those old movies where they would, you know, dip their arrow in tar, and they would light it on fire, and they would shoot that arrow. And then hitting an arrow is bad, getting shot with an arrow is bad enough, but getting shot with an arrow that's on fire, I wouldn't like that. You know, I mean, that's double whammy. So picture those arrows just flying like hundreds of them your direction. Here's what the lies that the devil tries to bring. Number one, he tries to bring doubt. Either to doubt ourselves, to doubt our God. That's just one of the tactics that he tries to do. Number two is fear. We get afraid. You know, when I used to snow ski out in Denver, I mean, I skied on very steep hills with a lot of things in my way, and I wasn't very good at skiing. You know, but what I did understand, if you don't get afraid, you ain't gonna fall down, for the most part. I mean, there is that edge where you have passed and there's no return there. But if you didn't get afraid, you didn't fall. You fell when you got afraid, when you're going faster than your comfort level, or you're hitting something in front of you couldn't turn from quick enough, you know? So if you don't get afraid, you'll be okay. There's nothing that the enemy can do. Another one that he hits us with is lack. More month than money, right? You know, we feel lack come into our life. You know, we may be doing really good. Maybe we got money in the bank and all these things, but then something breaks down and all of a sudden we get into fear. And then we start saying, oh, no, 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 no. And we start, our mouth starts to run and say negative things. And then we speak lack instead of speaking that God's got this. Number four, unloved. Have you ever felt unloved? Every now and then it hits us, don't it? You just don't feel loved anymore. You know, maybe we don't feel God loves us. You know, God's blessing this person over here. They got all this nice stuff and I got this. This is all I got. So God must not love me. No, that's not true. God loves everybody. God loves everybody the same. So don't ever feel that God doesn't love you. And number five is temptations. You know, there's three primary ways that the enemy tempts us. And it's found in these three, and it branches off from there. Number one is the lust of the eyes. You know, he tempts us with what we see. You know, we want that, or we got to have that. We're not supposed to have that, but I want it anyway. Number two is the lust of the flesh, where you feel those unholy or wrong desires. I mean, they may not be totally unholy, but let's say wrong things that you want, you crave, you desire, things that are not good for you, but you want them anyway. Then lastly is the pride of life. You know, pride it comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, right? So pride's what got Satan in trouble. I mean, duh. You know, if God humbled Satan, you know, who was one of the high-ranking archangels, and, you know, so we got to be careful not let pride come into our life. Okay, that's the areas I just want to do. So what do we do? How do we make this work? How do you maintain your shield? Okay, now, a Roman soldier, before he went into battle, he worked on his shield a little bit. He would do two primary things. He would put oil on it, and then he would, of all things, soak it in water. I mean, water and leather, to me, don't get along that good. Okay, because the shield was covered with leather. I left that part out, didn't I? Sorry. And then, so what it'd do, the symbol of the oil, it would make that leather stay pliable and it wouldn't crack, especially when he put the water on it. So he'd make sure that shield was taken care of because he was going into battle and he didn't know what was really coming. And then, before he went out, he would soak that in water. And the reason is that the water would extinguish the flaming arrows. That's interesting, isn't it? It is to me. Anybody out there? Hello, anybody out there? Hello, 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 hello. But see, we need to understand how that works. So the symbol of the oil, as we know, is the Holy Spirit, and that'll keep us pliable. And then the symbol of the water is the Word of God. See, if we know the Word, we can recognize the lie. But if you don't know the Word, you may not recognize the lie. And that's a problem. See, what happens is if the Roman soldier would go out and he'd be lazy, he'd sleep in and not take care of his shield, and he was out there in a battle, you know, he was dead meat. I mean, here all these flaming arrows are coming right at him, and let's say his shield failed. It cracked and started letting things through. And then it got to him. He would be a problem. And you know what else? He would let his team down. Because he might be in the tortoise position and they got shot. He got taken out. Now there's a gap. And that's letting other arrows in to hit his fellow brothers in the Lord. Or in the war for him, but us, it's in the Lord. So yeah, no pressure. Keeping that up. But if we forget ours, we can be roadkill. And that's what happens. You know, we get the tar beat out of us, and then we wonder, you know, where God's at. But see, God gave us everything we need in the Word of God. And he gave us he designed this great, magnificent plan to have a church where you come and you can be, you know, taught and encouraged and strengthened. And then you have a place to go to call if you have a problem. We have all these things at our disposal, but yet we don't take advantage of those. See, the biggest lie is the fact that Satan will try to get us to not ask for help. Because he'll get you to believe, and you could look around this room, and you could probably look around and say, man, all these people here, man, they got it together. And I got this problem. But all these other people, man, they're smiling. They're just clapping. And I just don't know if I can go another step. But I think if we're all honest here, I think we could all say that, yes, I have problems. I have problems. But I'm not afraid. Problems don't define me. Problems refine me. Because I'm holding on to the Word. I'm holding up that shield of faith. I'm keeping those arrows so they don't get to my mind and my heart. Because I know that God has raised me up for such a time as this. Amen? We're in this together. And we're fighting that good fight of faith. And we're going to win because He won.
Right.
So we're the ones who's responsible to maintain our shield. And I encourage you to take it seriously. Let's pray.
Thank you.
Amen.